Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. ML Abendroth here. Inside, smoker's cough, asthma-induced cough. It's supposed to rain today. I don't see the rain yet. Makes me want to go ride a bicycle, but I have work to do. Oh, another day. Today we're talking about the covenant of redemption. We are talking about the decree of the triune God to save sinners by having the Father send the Son and the Son to go and both positively obey the law and then suffer punishment for the people who have broken the law and their broken laws. It says in Hebrews 10, "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he had said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." We're talking about in eternity past, in eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit decreed, determined, purposed to save sinners. Not every sinner, not no sinner, but some sinners. Right? You have three options: some, none, or all. Are all or all. When was God's will decided? Was Christ's death on the cross an accident? And we would say, with great emphasis, that this was a plan of God. This Son of Man is going as it has been determined, Luke 22. This man delivered by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2. Herod, Pilate, and the Jews and the Gentiles crucified Jesus to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. And you have to remember that the Father sends the Son to die on the cross. And for God so loved the world, he gave. Okay, right? He gave his only begotten Son. There's a question. What about eternity? How do we think it? How do we think through it? I mean, we're just like stuck in time. Now, some people, when it comes to God and what was God doing before creation, kind of are cynics and mocking regarding this whole thing. Somebody asked Augustine, "What was God doing before he created the world?" Augustine replied, "Creating hell for curious souls." Now, I don't know if that's really true or not. Allegedly. I'm sure he was joking around. I guess Augustine joked, right? I guess he had a sense of humor. I must have a sense of humor because I get every month Christianity Today. But bum. I'm drinking out of a Zojirushi mug insulator. I think it's probably an incubator, too, for all kinds of bacteria. Just imagine if you could see all the different bacteria that you ate and drank and what it looked like, stuff that got into your body. It's gnarly. something like some alien show or something. We're dry bombing fast. Oh, you know what I wanted to say? I wanted to say that we're going to Israel in 2021, February, and it's coming up pretty fast. If you begin to shave your shekels now, save your shekels now. If you start to save them, save your cash. Save about $3,000. Might be able to do it for a little less, a little bit more. I think we're going to try to go to Rome afterwards for a little extension, maybe a 2 or 3 day extension, probably 3 or 4 day, knowing that I know the gelato place to take you to. It has ricotta cheese gelato. It's right across the street from the Vatican. It is so good. I love to walk around Rome, Roma, and go from espresso bar to gelato, repeat, then go get some pasta. What's that kind of pasta that has a couple different cheeses, like, you know, Romano, Parmigiana cheese, and a lot of butter and salt and pepper? There's a name for that. Like butter, salt and pepper, some, I don't know what it's called. It's kind of like the stuff you ate when you were a kid. Remember, you didn't want the pasta sauce, you just wanted butter, salt and pepper back in those days. What is the name of that salt and pepper pasta in Rome, on the streets of Rome? I don't know. I know where our place is, right down the street from the Trevi Fountain. I have no Italian accent. Italian. My wife's taking Italian lessons. My wife's taking ukulele lessons. Now the kids are out of the house. We take ballroom dance lessons on Thursday. I mean, it's just lesson after lesson after lesson. That's why I'm so tired. I don't do ukulele, although, this is the funny part. So my wife, her taste in music are as eclectic as anybody else's probably. And she has a few things she doesn't like. She always says, Mike, the common denominator in the music that you listen to is the male lead vocalist can't sing. Yeah, I'd never thought it was about that. And she doesn't like the Beatles. And for lots of reasons. I mean, I think she can appreciate the artistic value, et cetera. But anyway, she has to sing Beatles songs on her ukulele and practice them around the house. And no, I don't think it's Obladi, but maybe. Even Beatle fans don't like Obladi, Oblada. You know John Lennon didn't write that song. I guarantee you that. The Father commands the Son to die and rise again. And the question that we have to answer, now I'm back on track. I've had my little foray off the deep end into rabbit trail land. Excuse me. When did the Father command the Son to die and rise? What's going on in eternity past? Titus chapter 1 gives us a clue. It gives us some insight. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word, through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. Now, let's just break this apart a little bit. Break it down. The God who never lies promised before the ages began. Now, I like it that he's writing to Titus, excuse me, on the island of Crete, and he says God never lies. Using the name from the island Crete, and Crete, kritizo means to lie. The name of the islands, liars. Titus, you're on this island. And this is a God who doesn't lie. Remember Zeus, according to the Cretan myths, he had to lie to have sex with a human woman. He lied. Matter of fact, they said that there was a tomb of Zeus on Crete, but according to some, that was a lie too. Everything about this is a lie, and God promises eternal life, and he never lies. It's impossible for God to lie. Now, this God who doesn't lie, the next part is, if you just, you know, sometimes you just read the Bible too fast. He promised before the ages began. So this not lying God, never lying God, a God who always tells the truth, he promised. Now the text says promised. It doesn't say promise to them. Promise to you, Titus. It just said promised. Here's the great thing. Before time begins, there's no one who exists. God alone, Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And there's a promise made within the Trinity. That is amazing. Before anything's created, God is going to set the plan, make the plan. People chosen in eternity past. God promised all this ahead of time. And Christian, you ought to be thinking yourself, before time began, the Father chose me and gave me to the Son, and that Son needed to then, therefore, take on human flesh and be a representative for me and die as a substitute for me in time. God makes the promise, not to people, not to Satan. This is before Satan exists. Satan did not exist, then he exists. I like what 2 Timothy 1:9 says. God saved us, quote, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This is called the covenant of redemption. The Father giving the elect, the bride, to the Son to go rescue. It's called the covenant of redemption. It's called the Pactum Salutis, the Council of Peace. It's called the Covenant of Life, the Covenant of Designation. And this is a covenant that's very interesting because it is before time. Pretemporal is what they call it. Pactum Salutis. It is a gracious covenant. And if you don't have this covenant, there's going to be no salvation for you. Lloyd-Jones, when he's thinking about this, he says, there was a great eternal council held between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do we realize that our salvation was planned before the world was planned or created? It is this realization of the fact that makes man stand on tiptoe and shout out praise to God, chosen before the foundation of the world. Lloyd-Jones continues, the three persons met in conference. I speak with reverence in terms of Scripture and planned it. Let us get rid forever of the idea that salvation was an afterthought in the mind of God. It was not a thought that came to God after man had fallen into sin. It was planned before the foundation of the world. No wonder Paul, 25 years later, after he gets saved on the Damascus Road, going to kill Christians most likely, throw them in jail, persecute them. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is Ephesians 1, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. When did God choose? In eternity past. That's why when Jesus comes in the world, Hebrews 10, he says, because he's going to now do what the Father sent him to do. Remember the old lady that said to John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, I'm sure that God had to choose me before I was born because he would not have chosen me afterwards. And that is some real proper thinking there, proper thinking. When I grew up in Nebraska, no stinking thinking, as my father would say. You have to do something else. I don't know why there was always the negative and not the positive. But that, in fact, happened. Mike Abendroth is my name. ML Abendroth. info@nocompromiseradio.com. If you want some help with your sermons, I'll watch your sermon a couple times. I'll Skype you for an hour, give you a little update, a written update, send you my 400-page syllabus or whatever it is. And you can do that online. I do charge for it. You know what? I've not charged some of my friends, but I got to pay for the website. I paid for the website, paid for the, name and all that, sermoncritique.com. And so we'll just try to get that money back. I don't have to have that many people sign up to get the money back, but more than two, more than three or four, less than 10. From the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world. Hebrews, Revelation 13, Revelation 17. This is amazing. Beloved by the Lord, 2 Thessalonians, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. The language is explicit. And this idea that God looks down the quarters of time is just made up. Scripture puts the burden of proof on people that make up stuff like that. The Son, the Father, the Spirit. How about Psalm 2:8? Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance. Who ask whom for whom, as some might say. The covenant of God the Father with God the Son is a mutual agreement, Heidegger said, by which God the Father exacted from the Son perfect obedience to the law under the death which he must face on behalf of his chosen seed to be given him and promised him. If he gave the obedience the seed in question as his own prerequisite and inheritance, and in return the Son, in promising this obedience to God the Father and producing in it the literal act, demanded of him in turn the right to demand this seed for himself as an inheritance and prerequisite. The Father sends the Son to obey, to do, to merit, to work. And Jesus accomplished that, right? And he said, it is finished. And then he died. The Holy Spirit, I think he's a witness to the covenant. I think he's the legal witness, as Thomas Brooks called him. Can you imagine, in eternity past, God chooses you? What does that do for eternal security? John 10, I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. When did you receive that command? That's the question, Jesus. John 17, I glorified you on earth having accomplished the work that you gave, accomplished the work that you gave me to do. When did he give him the work? In eternity past. And that is the theme. That is the recurring stanza of the Gospel of John. This work that was given to the Son to do, and Father sends the Son to go do that. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Father sends the Son. When did he decide to send the Son? For whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure, John 3:34. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent, whom he has sent. That's what we're after here. The Father sends. The question is, when did he send? When was it determined to send? And Jesus comes into the world and says, I'm here to obey, because in eternity past, you told me to go at the right time, and now I'm here, and now I'm ready to obey. That's called the covenant of redemption. In eternity past, the Father gives the Son a work to accomplish in time, and the Son perfectly obeys. That's amazing to me. That is wonderful to me. That is language that should make us say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. To him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is language of getting your mind out of, you know, my back hurts today and I'm tired and I'm getting deaf, I'm getting blind, and several of my friends are dying of cancer. And I'm next, right? I'm next to go through whatever as time goes by. And it just, every day you wake up and you realize. I said to my wife and daughter this morning, my grown daughter, this is a day we just need to remember to be glad to be alive and to make it count. And we know, friends, it won't have that many more days. When you're given 3 to 9 months to live, you say to yourself, okay. If that was me, And my cancer was really nothing because they got it early. I mean, it didn't seem like nothing at the time, but anyway, compared to other people's, if somebody said, Mike, you've got 3 to 9 months to live, and I don't know how many days it would take to set in, so that would take a few days there, but I would probably think things like, that's 90 days for 3 months, 90 to 270 days. I've got a couple hundred days to live. Now, I might get killed by a car today, so that could be one day, right? But I've got two, if I'm not killed by accident or something like that, an aneurysm, heart attack, I've got 250 days. And then the next day, you go 249, 248. I mean, when I woke up, every day, I don't know, for a year, I woke up and thought I have cancer. I'm just like, okay, you got to be kidding me. I don't know if I ever said, you know, this stuff happens to other people, but not me. Friends, this happens to everybody. Not this particular thing, but everybody. Short of the Lord's return, something's going to happen bad. That's why these false word faith teachers blame it on you without not enough faith. I'll tell you this ahead of time. People are like, well, you know, you got to expect your healing. If you don't have the healing, you know, you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. I already know that. We don't have to have enough faith. We have to have faith, even a weak faith, in the strong Savior. It's the object of faith. That's why those guys are complete, you know, shysters, is what my grandma would say. I don't know if I've ever said that on the radio or not, but that's kind of what I think of. These guys are con artists, snake oil salesmen galore. You're going to be sick and dying, and you want me to come over and lay hands on you because I'm going to say, yes, I've got enough faith to do it, and then you don't get better. I'm blaming it on you. You've got to be kidding me. Tell those charlatans to get down to Children's Hospital and clear out wings and wards, and I'll believe them. Until then, you just stay away from the people that I shepherd. This is unbelievably tragic. And these poor people receive that. And then one day, these false teachers who are saying all that, they're going to be on the receiving end of it. And then what? When you go see John Wimber, as I did, up on the platform talking about 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 and gifts, and he's got oxygen tank, and he's, I think his wife was dying of cancer at the time, and he is in a wheelchair. I mean, physician, heal yourself. This is unbelievably wicked and cruel. Sin is unbelievably wicked and cruel, which leads to death, which is unbelievably wicked and cruel. And to get up there and tell people that they don't have enough faith and that's why they're not going to be healed. These, don't ever listen to those people. I don't care if it's your mother or father or pastor. Those people do not know what they're talking about. And if they were a lawyer or a doctor, they would have their license revoked. But since it's so easy just to go down to a strip mall and throw up, I'm an apostle, please give me money, playing on people's desire to get healed and desire to live a life, you know, rid of the pain that they go through. It is unbelievable. Well, I was super tired, and now I'm just jacked up for all this. Jesus, the willing sacrifice. Remember when it says in Hebrews 10, you have neither desired or taken pleasure in sacrifices, sin offerings and burnt offerings? You don't have to have a sacrifice unless there's somebody breaking the law. And Jesus comes, and he perfectly obeys the law. But what about all the people who have broken the law? And will break the law, therefore he has to pay, right? Positively obeying, then there's a penalty, both positive and penal sanctions of the law. He says again in Hebrews 10:9, behold, I have come to do thy will. Jesus comes to do the will of the Father. And that is amazing. In eternity past, it was decided, and on earth, he gets it done. He offers himself as the sacrifice for sinners. And when that sacrifice happened, the Levitical sacrificial system was sacrificed. The language of Hebrews chapter 9, he takes away the first in order to establish the second. It means he gets rid of, he abolishes, he murders or assassinates is one of the ways you could translate that word. The knife goes across the Levitical system when Jesus dies. Therefore, dear Christians, when you are tempted to go to Messianic Judaism, you ought to read Hebrews 10:9. You can't put an amalgamation of these two things together. Jesus sacrifices his body, chapter 10, verse 10, once and for all. My name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio. You can always write me. I'm very, very thankful that you listen. Please tell your friends to listen. You can go to iTunes and give us a ratings if you want. You can go do whatever you prefer. Hope to see you soon.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400.